Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Avery After Dark. I'm your host, Avery Ross, and I am so glad you're here. It's in my top 5 creepiest hauntings of all time. This one is terrifying. The story takes us to California. A family starts feeling a presence in their house. What started with eerie disturbances quickly escalated into something violent, something intelligent. The family named the presence Mr. Entity, and it got so bad, deadly. This true story takes terrifying twists and turns. Whether you believe in the paranormal or not, what happened in this house is difficult to explain. Grab your blankets, maybe a little snack. It's about to get very creepy. This is the haunting of Mr. Entity. Our story begins with a couple, Deborah and Bill Moffitt Jr. The couple met and married in 1984. For the newlyweds, it was a bit of an uncommon situation, as when they got married, Deborah moved in with Bill's parents to a house on Archibald Avenue, near LA in Rancho Cucamonga. To set the scene, the Moffitt family actually owned 3 homes, all next door to each other. Bill Jr. owned one of them. He inherited it from his aunt, but he didn't live in it. He actually lived at home with his mom, Lena, everyone called her Lee, and his dad, Bill Sr. Bill had some health issues. A heart condition, it ran in the family, so he wanted to be close to family in case anything happened. Next door was Bill Jr.'s grandmother, Domenica, and the house that Bill owned, he was going to use as a rental. For many, the idea of moving in with your in-laws may sound like a recipe for disaster, but it actually worked for them. Deborah Moffitt really enjoyed her in-laws. Before Deborah moved in, the family had an emergency. Grandma Domenica suffered a stroke. They didn't really know if she was going to pull through, but she did. Doctors tell her that she can go back home, but it was pretty clear that she was going to need round-the-clock care. They needed help, and help arrived in the form of a friend and neighbor, Juanita. Juanita was from Guatemala and was really looking for work. She needed a job to stay in America. She had a work visa and required employment to stay in the United States. So Juanita begins taking care of Domenica. But Domenica's health was rapidly declining. Juanita is concerned for Domenica and herself, her own situation. If Domenica dies, she would have no work, she'd be out of a job, and she would have to leave the United States. So it was a very desperate situation. So she took to her religion, Santeria. It's a religion that began in West Africa and the Caribbean. Worship in Santeria includes dancing to rhythmic drums, the use of charms, herbs, symbols, potions, and rituals. They believe through these rituals, they can contact deities. Another one of their practices is occasionally animal sacrifice, usually of chickens. But sadly, Domenica passes away. The family is devastated by this loss, and within 24 hours, it begins. The next evening, Bill Sr. and Jr. get to Domenica's house to find Juanita petrified. She bolts out the front door like something is chasing her. She is terrified out of her mind. Bill Jr. and Sr. are trying to calm her down. They're asking her, what's going on? What's happening? And Juanita just keeps repeating the same phrase over and over again, which was, I was just trying to help. I was just trying to help. They're asking her, what are you talking about? What help? But she's hysterical. They can't really get an answer out of her. Lee also comes over from next door. Juanita was so upset, they had to call a family member of hers to come and pick her up. But before she leaves, she turns to Lee, looks at her, and says, "Whatever you do, don't go in that house. There is something evil in there." Within the next few days, the family entered Domenica's home to begin packing up her things, and they saw what Juanita was referring to. She had been performing rituals in the house. Carved on the walls were symbols, markings, candles all over the floors and tables, broken beads from a rosary, and chillingly, knives, blood, feathers. Lee is a very religious person, strong in her Christianity, so this is really unsettling. But they get Domenica's home cleaned up, time passes, and everything goes back to normal for a while. They had this strange incident with Juanita, but Bill and Deborah were in love, enjoying those first years of marriage. Everything is going well. By 1987, Deborah had been living with her in-laws for a few years, and Bill Jr. had a new tenant in the house he inherited from his aunt. His tenant was named Danny. But there was one condition. Whoever lived in this house had to keep out of one room, one locked room. It wasn't anything weird. Bill had some sports memorabilia he wanted to keep there for his own storage. And Danny said not a problem, there was no issues with this. He had the rest of the house to himself. And then it started up. Bill went over to the house to show his dad some things from his collection. He gets to the door, takes his key out to unlock it, and the door opens to a strange scene. On the floor are a number of Bill's collectible bobbleheads. They were arranged in a triangle with a tail coming off of it. These bobbleheads were usually sitting high up on a shelf. Bill's first thought is, this had to be Danny. He was the only one in the house. So he asked Danny, "Was this you?" Danny denies ever entering the room, and both men know there's no way for Danny to get in there. It's locked and he doesn't have a key. And also, why would he do this? It's so weird. The Moffitts began to find family photographs turned backwards, with the photograph facing the wall. Lee had an altar in her bedroom she would pray to every night. On this altar was a statue of Jesus, along with countless other religious items. One morning, Lee woke up to find a pair of pants draped over her altar. "I sleep with Jesus, a crucifix next to my bed every night. I have for years. And if something or someone messed with it, I wouldn't be happy. Get this. This is so creepy." Lee and Bill Sr. begin finding unfamiliar items all over the room. A man's wallet, jewelry, a watch. These were not their things. They looked inside the wallet and saw these items belonged to Danny, Bill's tenant, as if someone was taking them from out of his house next door and sneaking them into their bedroom. They didn't want Danny to be freaked out by this, so they just quietly placed these items back in the house without him knowing. But the items kept reappearing in their bedroom. Weird. Little did they know, there was already something going on next door. All of a sudden, one day, Danny tells the Moffitts that he is leaving now. He gives them one day notice and then disappeared. He never told the Moffitts why, but something made him up and flee the house. And the family is disturbed to find that he actually left most of his belongings behind. The family inspected the house and saw that on all the light switches, there were these odd symbols they didn't recognize, drawn in crayon. Deborah was there as they inspected the house. She was standing in a room where there were a number of little dog figurines on a shelf, facing outward. She turned her head for a second, and when she turned back, all the little figurines had been turned around, now facing the wall. She runs and tells Bill about this, but he doesn't really believe her. When they left that night, Deborah had an eerie feeling. The whole thing, Danny up and leaving the house frantically, the figurines being turned around, all the strange symbols on the light sockets. Something was wrong here. The next day, Deborah and Bill Jr. go back to the house. They've got a lot of cleaning to do. They want to get it ready for a new tenant because Danny was clearly gone. They open up the door and see something startling. A lamp that was always in the bedroom had been moved. Someone had placed it in the middle of the living room floor. Our girl Deborah, she's convinced. She's like, this is paranormal. This is supernatural. They see this and she says out loud, if something or someone is here, give us a sign. They wait quietly. Nothing. A few moments later, they make their way back towards the dining room and see that the heavy dining table had been dragged across the room, across the carpet, from where it usually stands. Deborah again calls out, more aggressive this time. If you're here, move a picture frame, trying to be more specific. Again, nothing. Silence. They leave the room, and when they re-enter a few minutes later, the picture frame had been moved. Now Bill Jr. is on board. They are really scared by this, and they go and tell Lee and Bill Sr. Lee is really listening to them because she's having her own experiences in their house, but Bill Sr. brushes them off. But ghost or not, Bill needs to find a new tenant for his house. So after some time passes, he rents it out to a young couple, Tom and Michelle. The Moffitts actually tell this couple, we think that this house might be haunted. We just want to let you know. But Tom and Michelle really don't seem fazed by it. They don't care. They seem like a nice couple looking for a spot to call home. Then, one day, Deborah walks out the front door, looks over, and sees that Michelle is on the front porch, distraught. Deborah quickly walks over, asking Michelle if she's okay. And as she gets closer, she can see. There are bruises all over Michelle's face. Michelle tells Deborah that Tom got physical with her, but it just made no sense. He had never done this before. She says ever since they moved into this house, he had become increasingly more violent and aggressive. He had changed. 1 week later, Michelle disappears. Deborah and Bill see Tom one day and ask him, "Where's Michelle? We haven't seen her around." Tom tells them that they got into a big fight and they broke up and she left. But something seemed really off about it all. A few days later, Tom disappears. Bill Jr. goes over to the house to check, and nothing is out of the ordinary. Everything looks fine, except one thing. The living room rug is missing. He thinks this is strange, but there are no other signs of any trouble at the house. Days later, there's a knock at the door. Deborah answered it, and a man she didn't recognize was standing on her doorstep. He asks her if she knew where Tom was. She tells this man that she hadn't seen Tom in a while. He left days ago and disappeared. The man then asked, "Well, did you hear about Michelle?" Deborah asks, "What do you mean?" The man says Michelle was murdered. They found her in a landfill, wrapped in a rug. She had been beaten to death. This mysterious man then turned and walked down the street, out of sight. Deborah is so upset, she runs to tell Bill. Bill is also upset. But they're baffled as they haven't heard anything in the paper or the news. They go and talk to Bill Sr. about it because they're wondering, should they go to police? But Bill Sr. reportedly told them to just forget about it. We don't need to get involved in this. It was around this time that the family decides, we want to move. They made the decision to put the three houses on the market and start somewhere fresh. Buy a new house, move in together. They were ready to put this chapter behind them. They find a house nearby, they begin packing their things, but this seemed to really intensify the strange activity in the house. Objects were going missing. And the day the family was set to move, Deborah and Lee are packing boxes and hear commotion coming from the kitchen. They run in to see the kitchen had been destroyed, glass everywhere. The pantry had been toppled over. Then they hear noises in the bedroom upstairs. They run up to find every window was broken. This is confirmation that this is the right thing. Like, we need to get out of this house. This is weird. This is strange. This is creepy. This is all of the above. They are relieved that they're leaving this house behind. They're happy to be moving. If they only knew what was coming next. They move into their new house, and things are calm. The family didn't experience anything strange. They were happy with their decision. Until one day, Bill Sr. walks into the family room, looks at the mantle, and he sees it. Their family photo turned backwards. It was all starting up again. The family's alarm system would go off at all hours of the day and night, triggered by something they couldn't see. They would hear their names being whispered to them, They would hear screams coming from empty parts of the house. One day, Lee walks into their bathroom, turns on the light, and is horrified as she looks at the mirror. There's a message written with a bar of soap. Three words: talk to me. Lee shows the family, asking who did this. Everyone denied writing the message. Deborah quickly erased it, cleaning the mirror. But within minutes, there was a new message written. This time, two words: no escape. Whatever was haunting this family wanted to communicate with them. This has got to be a real bummer. You know, they leave the haunted houses behind. They think they're starting fresh. Nope. It followed them. Lee really believes that they need to get the church involved at this point. They were all on edge all the time. Strange, cryptic messages continued to appear. Sometimes using the name Nene, which was a nickname Lee's sister gave her when they were young. This was the aunt that Bill Jr. had inherited that house from. So they have a moment of, wait, is this the ghost of our aunt, Lee's sister? The idea of that is a little bit easier to swallow for them because this is a family member. Could it be? It wasn't. As they're discussing this, another message written boldly in large letters appears. It reads, "Fools." Seemingly making fun of the group for believing that this was the ghost of Lee's sister. Then another message. It read, "I hate Lee." Bill Sr. screamed out, "Who are you?" Then another message. It read, "Prince." Then their family finds the worst message yet. Written boldly for all to see, it read, "Lee, die." Whatever this was seemingly had a hatred towards Lee, so she goes to her church and asks for a blessing. They need help. The church says, sure, we'll send a priest over, no problem. A day or so later, the priest arrives at the Moffitt's home. But from the second he walked onto the property, the family could see he was disturbed. He walked in the front door, pauses, sprinkles holy water, and then says, "I'm not going any further into this house." The Moffitts are like, "What? Don't you need to like walk around and bless every room?" And the priest is like, "No, that won't be necessary." And he leaves. He refuses to go any further into this house. So that's not great. This is not good. The activity and messages continued. Demands, insults to Lee and the family. Sometimes threats. Whatever this was had intelligence, as it was communicating like a person would, wanting to have conversations. The family was terrorized by this entity, but they had an agreement. They didn't want anyone to know. They wanted to keep this to themselves. Lee thought that people would hear this and think they were crazy. So this is different from some of the other hauntings that we've covered where families are talking with the press, talking with the media. This was the opposite. They didn't want anyone to know about this. Which, if you're a skeptic, might add to the credibility. Maybe not. But it's definitely an interesting part of this. The family documented the activity, taking photographs of the messages and symbols they would find carved into walls. One night, Deborah and Bill got back from visiting friends to find a triangle with a tail drawn on the floor. They had seen the shape before. Back at the old property, Bill found his bobbleheads in this shape. They don't know what this symbol is or what it means, but they begin to see it drawn all over the house. And there was no denying that the haunting was getting more vicious as time went on. They found a knife stabbed into a family portrait in the hallway. One evening, Bill Sr. and Lee walked in to find their mattress shredded, destroyed. The family was so scared, they all began sleeping in one room downstairs. After this, although the second story was completely empty, they would hear this piercing, haunting laughter coming from empty parts of the house. The sound of someone moving around up there. Doors would open and shut on their own. They would hear knocking, banging, coming from inside the walls, like something was in there trying to get out. They begin looking into paranormal groups, trying to find someone to come to the house and help them. And many did. Psychics, even Ed and Lorraine Warren, visited the Moffitts. And after spending some time in the home, Lorraine told the family she believed the entity that was haunting them was one of the most powerful, ancient, evil demons she had ever encountered. But no one knew why it was targeting this family. Privately, Lee did have a theory. She was afraid that the entity was punishment for the sins of her father, who had been a hitman for one of the Cosa Nostra families in Southern California. And messages continued appearing, actually mocking the family's attempts at getting help. The messages would say things like, "No one can help you." And the entity was always reinforcing how powerful it was and requested to be called Prince. The family denied this request and began calling it Mr. Entity, hoping that giving it a smaller, more meaningless name would give it less power. But this seemed to make things worse. This entity would follow the family everywhere. It was stalking them. They would go out to eat at a restaurant, and when they would get home, they would find the waitress's name tag in their house. They would go out of town and stay at a hotel to find those same symbols drawn on the walls of the hotel. It was relentless. The Moffitts felt like they were trapped. If they moved, it was clear this entity was going to follow them. It had already followed them to this new house. Lee was the focus of the activity and the attacks. This entity was obsessed with her. One afternoon, Lee was sitting at their kitchen table when she suddenly felt something sharp moving up her leg. She jumped up, looked down to see a knife had been stabbed through the chair, the blade only missing her by millimeters. This started happening more and more. Lee would find knives stabbed into furniture or beds where she was sitting down or sleeping. On one occasion, she woke up and found 6 knives in her bed surrounding her. Knives would be found poking up through the stairs.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
Just bone crying, and he said, "Coach, they killed him."
No weapon, missing witnesses, conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down. According to him, it was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming. Because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.
By 1988, it was awful. Flocks of birds would fly around their house, fly into their windows. They'd find dead birds all over their yard. Rats began infesting the house. When the Warrens investigated this haunting, they suggested that an exorcism was needed. But there was some kind of problem with this. Reportedly, some back and forth between differences in beliefs, so the exorcism never happened. And without the exorcism, the Warrens reportedly said they couldn't help any further. And there's also something else going on at this time. The family began to notice that Bill Sr. was acting strangely, withdrawn. The entire family was on edge, but Bill Sr. in particular was exhibiting some odd behavior. At one moment, he'd be concerned with the activity, and the next, completely unfazed by it. He was upset over one thing, money. The family was spending a lot on these experts that were being paid to visit the house and investigate the haunting. Bill and Deborah had their first child around this time, and they were really afraid that the entity would focus its attention onto the baby. So Deborah goes into the bathroom one day and begins communicating with the entity. At times, the family would try to communicate with the spirit through messages on the mirror, requesting certain things. For instance, they asked to get rid of the rats, and sometimes it would. So Deborah goes to the mirror and asks the entity not to harm their child. and Mr. Entity reportedly wrote a message back saying it wouldn't. It only wanted Lee, saying Lee belonged to it. She had been promised in a past life, and it was coming to collect. But what did all these paranormal investigators and experts tell the family? Because they were bringing a lot of people in, hoping they could help. Many believe that for this entity to have such a powerful presence in the home, someone in the house had to have been giving it permission to stay. They just couldn't imagine who in the family would be giving this demon permission to continue tormenting them. It didn't make sense. But the family feared these experts were right, as the entity only got stronger over time. One day, Lee was in the kitchen when unseen hands dragged her into the pantry. She said she felt hands gripping around her throat. The pantry door slammed shut, Lee trapped in there with Mr. Entity. Bill and Deborah run over, hearing Lee's screams, but they couldn't open the door as it was locked. Finally, after what felt like forever, the pantry door unlocked. They opened it up to see Lee lying on the floor, red marks all over her neck. After this, another message appeared on the mirror. It said, Lee will die in 10 days. And get this, 10 days after they found that message, Lee was admitted to the emergency room with pneumonia and heart failure. The entity followed her there, staying with her the entire time. She said she saw this dark figure moving around her hospital room at night. Wherever she went, Mr. Entity followed. After Lee was able to come back home, one evening she was in the living room when she was attacked again, saying she watched in horror as the figure took the shape of a person with eyes and a mouth, and then it began charging at her, chasing her out of the room. Lee, Deborah, Bill Jr., they just couldn't understand how this entity had so much power, but they were about to understand why. By 1990, Bill Sr. had become like a whole different person. He spent most of his time alone. The family would often hear him talking, muttering to someone, having conversations. He was sleepwalking. The family wanted an exorcism for him, actually. They were very disturbed by his behavior, thinking that this dark presence in the home had taken its toll on him. But it was actually so much darker than that. Eventually, Lee discovered something that changed everything about this case. She found out that her husband, Bill Sr., had been secretly encouraging the entity to kill Lee the entire time. They theorized that he wanted Lee dead so that he could inherit the money that was left to her. Apparently, she had a big inheritance left by her parents, but it was theorized that money was the motive. The entity revealed that it had been privately speaking to Bill, and Bill would erase their conversations before anyone could see. This was a horrific betrayal. Lee suggested he needed mental help. He even stayed at a mental health facility for a time, but he was actually trying to convince others that it was Lee who was mentally unwell, wanting her to be evaluated. Lee wanted him gone, and so Bill Sr. packed his suitcase, moved out of the state, and the family never saw him again. Lee and Deborah were relieved to see Bill Sr. go, but Bill Jr. was really affected by this. How could his father do this to his mother? It was really a betrayal of the whole family. The activity seemed to decrease after Bill Sr. left. It was still there, but less aggressive. Then, the haunting's final chapter. A paranormal investigator named Gary Kent, who had stayed with the Moffitts years earlier to investigate the haunting and was ran out by how horrible it got, came back to stay with the family in 1992. During this time, Deborah was asking the entity to leave. This is super strange, so bear with me here. Gary supposedly agrees to take Mr. Entity with him. He was moving back to England and said, "I'll take it with me." What? Deborah, having children at this point, was encouraging Mr. Entity to leave, but it apparently didn't want to. Deborah continued to push, saying, "Look, Bill Sr. is gone. There's no hate for you to feed on anymore. This is a house of peace." The day that Gary left for the airport, the Moffitts found one final message Goodbye, my family. This was the end of the haunting. But why would Gary want this horrific, dark presence to come with him? Yuck. Well, he said he had been down on his luck and believed that this powerful entity could change things for him, turn things around, and actually really wanted it to come with him. Like begging. I can't. I'm out. The Moffats still lived on edge, scared Mr. Entity would come back at any moment. Anytime they would hear a noise, they would jump in fear, only to find the noise had a rational explanation. The Moffats never experienced any paranormal activity ever again, and the family made a pact to not talk about Mr. Entity ever again. Lee and Bill Sr. officially divorced, and they wanted to put it all behind them. It wasn't until Deborah and Bill Jr.'s children got older that they found out about it all. They uncovered some photographs from the haunting, and they're like, what are these? Grandma, what's this? What's this photo of a knife sticking out of the wall? Huh. What's going on? But what about Gary? What about old Gare? How's he doing over in England? He said he did experience some activity when he first moved there. He found symbols, specifically that triangle with a tail drawn on his walls at his new house, but eventually Mr. Entity disappeared from his life too. As we covered, the Moffats kept this entire haunting private for years. But after time had passed, Jessica Moffat, daughter of Deborah and Bill Jr., wrote an article about the haunting in the Huffington Post, and Blumhouse is going to make a series about the family and what they experienced. It was revealed that Bill Sr. had these really horrible intentions of wanting the entity to kill Lee. So it's only normal to wonder, was he behind some of the activity, the messages? Now that you've gotten a feel for this haunting, what do you make of it all? What do you believe was actually going on in the Moffats' home? Was this truly paranormal activity? This is one of the strangest hauntings I've covered. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. Thanks so much for tuning in for this episode. If you enjoyed it, leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell me where you listen to Avery After Dark. On the way to work, maybe at work, maybe while doing a little housework. Let me know. I always love to hear. If you want to watch all these episodes, subscribe to the Avery After Dark YouTube. Link in the show notes. Next episode is especially eerie. Until then, this is Avery After Dark.